Today, we're going to be talking about asset protection with Australia's leading property tax strategist, Ken Race. That may not be a sexy topic, but it's extremely important because asset protection is the use of smart legal strategies to protect what's yours. For example, we're going to be discussing why people who own their properties in their own names are putting their assets at risk and why it's crucial even for homeowners, not just property investors, to have asset protection strategies in place. You see, many of us are dreaming of building a substantial property portfolio. However, very few of us are taught about the importance of asset protection. Even solutions, as I said, for owning your own home. The problem is currently we're living in a stage, an age of extreme financial uncertainty. But it's natural under these sort of circumstances for people to want to protect the assets they've worked so hard to accumulate. They're looking for strategies that are going to safeguard them from the fickle hand of fate or to stop others taking what's rightfully theirs. Now, I know you may well have insurance, but it will protect against some risks, but not against all risks. So smart investors look for ways of protecting their assets from their creditors, and that's what we're going to talk about. So welcome to today's episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, because at the end of today's show, you're going to have a bit more clarity about what you could be doing or should be doing to pass on your assets, because you're going to have kept them and protected them.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialise in helping you grow, protect and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's most trusted property commentator who has once again been voted Australia's leading property investment advisor. That's the fifth time he's won a similar award in the last 7 years.
In this podcast, we'd like to help you become more financially successful by helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth. And what we're going to talk about in today's show with my business partner, Ken Race, Australia's leading property tax strategist, is asset protection, how to keep more of your assets, not lose them to, well, we'll find out who you can lose them to in just a minute when I have a chat with Ken. So welcome, Ken.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Now, for people who don't know you, you come with the history of being an accountant. You are the managing partner of a national accounting firm, but you're not just a bean counter. You actually give high-level wealth advice to our clients at Metropole Wealth Advisory. Interestingly, amongst other things, you're a licensed estate agent, a successful property investor. You've got financial planning qualifications. So it's really a very holistic view that you've got. And I know you help our clients, as I said a moment ago, grow, protect, and pass on their wealth. But let's have a talk about the protection bit today, please. So what is asset protection?
Yes, a very interesting topic. And I remember reading
it. It is for an accountant, Ken. It maybe not for everyone else until it happens to you. And so while people think, nah, I don't need that now, boy, do you need it when you need it. So you should do it before you need it.
That's right. And it sort of comes from an article I read almost 20 years ago, which basically talked about the difference between the people that are, can I say, very wealthy and those that aren't. The main difference is the wealthy people have learned how to keep their wealth. And it emphasized more how to keep the wealth than to actually create it. And
that's an interesting point. It's an interesting point of view.
Yeah, that was an Australian Financial Review article. So asset protection is really about safeguarding your hard-earned assets from litigation. And if people sue you, even if they're not successful, defending an action is very, very costly in your time, money, emotionally. It's a drag on everything and it slows you down moving forward. So it's something I think most of us need to keep at the forefront to different degrees, depending on your job, depending on the level of assets you have. But it's got to be something I think we now have a box that we need to tick when we're looking at our wealth creation. It's how to keep all that wealth that we've worked so hard to create.
Well, at Metropole, we have a framework that we help our clients with to get them to not just grow their wealth, but keep it and to pass it on. And it's one of the boxes, as you say, that needs to be ticked. But why should somebody listening to this be concerned about all this?
Yeah, very good question, Michael. Look, I think it's true to say that the world is becoming increasingly litigious. That is, people are now suing easier. It's becoming much easier to sue somebody with these no-fault lawyers in a lot of areas. So you don't even have to pay in a lot of instances to try and, take an action against somebody. And I recently read somewhere that Australia is the third most litigious society in the world. And I think in these current times of uncertainty, as I said, the no-cost legal services that are available, many people, I think, are choosing to sue someone, even if for greenmail. That is, I'm going to try and get money out of you just to get you to stop me pursuing an action. And it's the lazy way, I think, for a lot of people who aren't prepared to put the hard yards in to create their wealth, is they sue somebody.
It's really interesting that you say that, King, because more recently in our property management divisions, we've noticed that people are looking for compensation. They're trying to get the landlords. I think at the moment they're upset about what's happening with COVID, with the world, with their jobs, with their income, and they're looking for somebody it's an external person to give them something back because they feel that they've been badly done by. So there's no doubt that we are noticing much more of that happening. And usually there's no real substance to it, Ken.
Yeah, it's frivolous in a lot of instances. And nowadays with the increased technology that we have, people can find out what somebody else owns. They can do title searches. They can do director searches. So it's very easy to sort of go down the rabbit warren and find out exactly what people have as assets. Whereas decades ago, it was very hard to know what Joe Blow owned. And therefore, what would I get? It would cost a lot of money to actually get to the starting gate, but no more.
So I bet you there's somebody listening to this, Ken, who's saying, no, it's too old fuddy-duddies. They're just paranoid. They're worried about things. That's not going to happen to me. What's your message for them?
Look, there is a level of paranoia, but that's life. And I think there's many instances where people are sued both legitimately and for unscrupulous reasons. So we should do everything possible and appropriate to not put ourselves in a position where we get sued. We should have the appropriate insurances in place. But in a lot of instances, that's just not enough. And some more recent examples that I've heard of was, someone having a car accident. They were so busy, they forgot to pay for their insurances. They had an accident, so they were underinsured. So the person that was hurt in the other car got money from the government, but they lost a lot of their assets because they weren't insured. Nowadays, with piracy legislation, imagine getting a knock on the door by the federal police that your son has been caught downloading music or movies. And there's a lot of litigation in those areas. Being underinsured, I heard a story not that long ago where someone's house burnt down. They were underinsured. So not only did they have to pay the difference for their home, because the house next door was burnt down, there was an issue there. And the one I see the most is as people grow, they get different jobs, they get promoted, they move into those positions where there is litigation. They're either a director in a business, they take on occupational health and safety responsibilities as the factory floor manager. When they came out of university, they didn't have those issues. So they bought their assets in their personal name, only to find 10, 15, 20 years later, they are now in a position of vulnerability. So you've got to get ready in case that happens to you. And look, safeguarding the family wealth is really quite critical, because that's why most of us are creating the wealth. It's to pass down to the next generation. It's to live a comfortable life in retirement. So imagine losing that after having to put a lifetime's effort into generating that wealth. Not a good place to be in.
Not at all. So what I'm hearing you say is you may not even be a director of the company on ASIC, but your role could well be involved in looking after people in the business. It could be involved in looking after the numbers, the accounts in the business, or as a property investor. I know we figure we're insured, but we've all heard those stories about the insurance companies not paying out or not paying out in full.
Or taking a long time to pay out.
Well, that's the other thing, of course, yes. So what you're saying is your assets, your personal assets, things you own, are at risk from other people taking them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. So it's those personally held assets that we're here to protect. And that's why sometimes you see a lot of people using trusts and those sorts of things. It's to own the assets by the trust, which means if they're personally sued, then the assets in the trust are safeguarded. But a lot of people actually haven't had an opportunity to use a trust and have bought assets in their personal name that, if you like, become exposed as their life grows into different areas and different directions.
Well, that's one of the questions I want to ask you, because a lot of people have bought a property or two a couple of years ago. Life has changed. They've moved on. And now, knowing what they know now, they probably wouldn't have bought it in their own name. So that's one of the things I want to ask you, because I bet you there's some person listening to this who's thinking the same. But I'm going to put that question on notice for a moment, Ken, because before I do that, I'd like you to maybe tell me about some of the typical mistakes that you've seen clients make and the strategies that you have been able to use to implement to help them.
Yeah. Look, I think most people have access, or they sometimes talk to, three major groups of advisors. They're lawyers that look after protection. Their accountants that might look after their tax, their compliance work, and maybe a financial planner somewhere in there that helps create wealth. And the biggest mistake I see is that people go to just one of those people to put in place a strategy. It could be the lawyer. And what's missing from the equation is, how does the accounting, the tax, the estate planning, the wealth creation all fit together? So the biggest mistake I see is that an asset protection strategy only looks at one small component of what should be a much larger strategy and remedial practice. So the problem then is, if you only go and see one person, you'll get a biased view and just have that one professional giving you an answer that works, but in totality has a lot missing. So you need to go.
So the accountant is looking at compliance. The solicitor is really looking to protect you legally. The financial planner, they're good at their own areas. He's looking at the finances. But I've found people are trying to join the dots, Ken, and they can't.
Yeah, there are no dots, because there's a lot of smart people out there. If there were dots, you could join them. There's chasms, there's bridges that you've got to build across, so that you integrate the legal with the accounting, with the estate planning. And unless you're super rich and you go to one of the big firms where you have a meeting with six people in the room that ends up costing you an arm and a leg, most people don't have access to a wide range of professionals that should all be inputting. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I see. It's avoidable. It can be corrected. You don't have to make those mistakes. You just have to know how. And an example is, you go to your lawyer for asset protection. They put the family home into a trust. You've ended up paying capital gains tax. You now have a land tax liability. And you lose the access to the main residence exemption, which is, if you sold the family home, you wouldn't have to pay capital gains tax. So big mistakes in that area. Or they put investment properties into a trust where that trust actually doesn't give you a tax benefit if the rental income is below the expenses. Can I call it the negative gearing that we hear a lot of? So the typical trust then won't give you the benefit against your PAYG. So yes, you've got asset protection, but you're losing $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of tax deductions. So a big drain on your wealth.
Well, I know that's why we set up Metropole Wealth Advisory a while ago, to be the go-between all these. So you and your team have the understanding because of your years of experience, your qualifications, but more importantly, just the perspective of having been as an investor and in business for so long and acting as the interface to help all this happen. Because as you correctly say, the lawyer was right legally. The accountant was right numbers-wise. The financial planner did the right thing, but the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. And as you become wealthier and as there's more complexities, it's really important to get all those things together. So how should people go about protecting their assets?
Yep, you've got to go to somebody who actually will look at an integrated approach that looks at the legal, the tax, the accounting, the estate planning, and the future changes in your life. So you need a strategy then that looks at all those things and doesn't leave you exposed in any one area. And at Metropole Wealth Advisory, we've helped develop and, can I say, improve four different strategies that help people protect their assets. And the particular strategy that someone needs will be dependent on their circumstances. So we have a solution that is not a one-size-fits-all. There's four different, can I say, strategies.
But Ken, what would you say to somebody who says, I've already got an accountant, I've got a trust, my accountant or my solicitor knows about those things?
Well, you know, do they? Test them. Ask them the right questions. And that's where a lot of people then fail. They don't know what to ask. So, you know, someone once said, the smart person doesn't know the answer, they know the question to ask. So you don't know that your accountant knows everything. But if they're just giving you something that's going to be tax related, you can all but guarantee that it's going to miss out on the estate planning. It's going to miss out on, if you like, building a sufficiently high brick wall. We absolutely know that they probably won't integrate your wills correctly because, okay, if nobody sues you, we will all eventually pass away and die. So some of the strategies aren't put together in a way that actually makes it efficient to pass those assets to the next generation because there's been no coordination between all that. So that's why we developed the four different strategies. And each one of them doesn't trigger a tax. A lot of my clients put their home through one of these strategies. So they retain the main residence tax exemptions. They don't trigger a land tax liability. So again, it's horses for courses, not one size fits all. But each of those strategies are built on very solid foundations, looking at the accounting, the tax, the estate planning, future flexibility, because people change their circumstances. And that's the big difference, I think, between us and other people.
I think one of the things we've got to say at this point, we always say it at the end of the podcast, is this is not advice. We don't know your circumstances. We're talking in general and with your many, many years of experience of helping people. But the concept is if you want to get advice, then go to metropole.com.au and find out about our wealth advisory services and have a chat with Ken. We'll explain a bit more about that later. But I wanted to make it clear just in case somebody says, oh, I've got to get my house out of this or into this. But what you said, I know will prick the ears of some people. They'll say, hey, I know my house is exposed because it's in my name or my wife's name, but I'm scared of moving it to a different entity because I don't want to pay stamp duty. I don't want to, they probably won't pay capital gains tax selling their house. I don't want to trigger other events. So you're saying, now I know the answer because I'm your business partner, but to these people, so it's a trick question in some ways. You're saying there is a way of overcoming the asset protection benefits that we're looking for, or achieving the asset benefit protection we're looking for, and minimizing those other downside risks.
Yeah, I had a client a number of years ago, and I remember they wanted to protect their house. They were specialist doctors, a very high value home, and I sort of said, well, you know, they were looking at selling the old home and buying the new home, and I said, well, put it in your spouse's name. And the answer came back that the spouse was equally exposed as a specialist doctor, but in a more litigious area. So we had to find a strategy then that actually protected the asset, because neither of them could have a property in their name. And that's the same situation as I find with many executives. As they get promoted, they take on additional responsibilities. They all of a sudden find themselves in this unsafe area, you know, particularly with occupational health and safety and other consumer laws that are quite prevalent. And in Australia now, directors are responsible for all the tax affairs of a company. So there is that direct risk, if you like, depending on what you do in life.
But Ken, somebody's going to be listening to this and thinking, yes, I know I've actually got to see Ken, I've actually got to move my house out of my name. It's just the example we're using right now. But gee, that must be very expensive. What would you say to that?
It's hugely expensive. So if it's the family home, they lose the main residence exemption. So any sale would trigger a capital gain. There's a stamp duty implication on moving the home from two partners to one or something different. The property now in a trust would be liable for land tax. You'll have to refinance because you're changing the title. So if there's debt, you'll have to go to the bank. There could be a substantially higher interest rate or a different term. So all these issues will then build up, and it could cost many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, to move even the most modest of homes.
So what you're saying is that a consultation with you and the structures and frameworks that you're putting together is nothing in comparison to that.
Oh, nothing, because there is no capital gains tax. There is no stamp duty. You don't trigger the land tax liability. So there's none of those traditional costs, but you still get the same asset protection as if you had moved the property into a trust.
Okay, so if people are wanting to find out more about this, there'll be a link in the show notes, but go to metropole.com.au or Metropole Wealth Advisory and have a chat with Ken. Now, that was only one of the four big frameworks that you've got. What other advice would you have for somebody about asset protection, Ken?
Look, I think the big thing is set up the structures correctly at the beginning. When you're buying, call it an investment property, make sure that the right structures in place. And even for people on a PAYG income, you can actually buy in a trust and get the benefit of any negative gearing against your wages. A lot of accountants think that you can't have that. One of the benefits of the trusts that we use is we've got what we call a lineage clause in there. We've got what we call a no vesting date. Most trusts have got an end date, which when it's triggered, potentially will trigger capital gains tax and stamp duty, where ours doesn't have that end date. So you've got to get the loan set up correctly so that you can match the loan with the income. So the tax man will give you the tax deduction. I see a lot of loan structures that are set up in such a way that the ATO would refuse the tax deductibility of the interest. So with assets, you've then got to have a look at how's it going to pass on to the next generation? How do you make it safe? So if you pass on assets to one of your children, in the event of a divorce of one of your children, the in-law doesn't get it all. So you've got to look at all those aspects, not just the very funneled view of I want to protect that asset, because if you do, you will probably make a mistake.
Now, I know personally that years ago when I used to sit with clients, I used to tell them this advice, you've got to see Ken, you've got to get this organized. And I used to jokingly say, in my blended family, I've got six kids and statistics would say that two of them are going to get divorced, ha, 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 and I don't know who they are. Well, unfortunately, Ken, now I do know who the two are. And I am so happy that we have our assets in the right sort of asset protection structures with the right sort of lineage clause so that we have been able to protect them. And in many ways, this is a form of insurance because people would say, I don't want to spend that money right now. I'd rather put it into the property or have a smaller loan. But this is the protection that you hope you never need to use, but it's safer to do that than not to do that.
Correct. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to move from an unsafe area into a safer area. And the more you can go down that curve, the better you sleep at night.
So, Ken, not all trusts are the same. I mean, basically a trust is a document. It's a legal document with words and clauses in it. And we've already said there's a couple of clauses that you and our legal consultants have put in to the Trust Metropole Wealth Advisory do to protect ourselves. Is there any other way that the trusts that you advise your clients are different?
Yeah, look, one of the things is people have a false sense of security that if they own assets in a trust, the assets are protected. In a trust, the assets are protected if you're personally sued. But if you've got an investment property in a trust, the tenant can sue. And because they're already in the trust, it's like the Trojan horse. They're behind the gate. They can sue the trust. So there are strategies that you can put in place to protect the equity also in trusts. And you've got to look at that as well. If you are lucky enough to have some of your assets in trusts and the other strategies are for the assets that are in your personal name.
Now, I know a lot of people listening to this are going to have relatives overseas. They may have come from overseas. A lot of us have. You weren't born in Australia. I wasn't either, even though we've been here all our lives. There are some issues with certain trusts and certain beneficiaries. So I think even if somebody has had a trust set up many years ago, I guess a question would be, is it still appropriate today or can it be amended?
Yeah, so a number of things have happened with trusts over the years. The big one is what they call a foreigner's tax. So if you've got a trust where there could be a distribution to somebody who's a citizen or a permanent resident of Australia, then stamp duty is almost doubled than what it would normally be, and land tax is approximately doubled from what it would be. And you may never make a distribution, but in the traditional family trust, the people that can get a distribution are very wide and therefore captures a lot of people in your family. And I had the situation where we had a new client and they came to say, look, they've been given this land tax bill. It didn't look right. The father owned the property in a family trust. His son, because he was his son, not named, but as a son, was a nominated beneficiary. And he was living in the US and married a lady in the US. And he was captured under the foreigner's tax, the father was. And all of a sudden, his land tax bill went up by approximately $8,000 a year. That was a simple, avoidable mistake that could have been fixed by doing the correct amendment to the deed. So if you've got a deed, a trust, then it is worth having that reviewed as well and making those necessary adjustments, which we can help you with at Metropole Wealth Advisory.
Now, that's a really good point because this is nothing new. It's something you understand and I understand because we work in this area, not that I'm an accountant or a tax advisor, but having said that, it's amazing how many clients we see who've had their accountant, had their annual reviews for the last 2, 3, 4 years, and it's never been brought up. And again, that's because accountants are thinking about saving you the tax and getting you the depreciation and doing all the right things. But as you actually move to the next level, some people need to move up a step and have different consultants. But let's make it clear, you don't do bean counting, you don't do tax, you're not looking to do that. What I guess I'm suggesting people do is come for you for a checkup, a specialist opinion on their structures, their estate planning, their ideas for the future. And then it often, usually, goes back to their current accountants, lawyers, financial planners to implement that. Of course, if they want us to implement it, we'll do that. But you're not trying to take the job of their accountant. You're just the expert specialist, because that's the stuff you do all day.
Correct. I become the specialist. The accountant in this example is the GP. And I will work with the accountant if they're not quite sure on, how to dot the I's and cross the T's. And that's part of the specialist service that we give to our clients. It's not only what is the strategy, but it's the implementation program, because you've got to implement correctly to get the result you want. It's no good just having a good recommendation. You've got to implement for a result. And part of that is talking to your local accountant to help them implement. And what I find is, in a lot of instances, the local accountant may not know what to do because they haven't done it before, or they don't do it enough. And with a little bit of guidance from us, then they can grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and get on with it and implement.
But a little hint for those people listening to this: if you ask your accountant, hey, do you think I should see Ken Race? I heard about him. I've followed him for a long time. I've read his blogs. I've seen his videos. The accountant is probably going to say no, because most professionals, and it's not suggesting he's not good at his tasks, but most professionals think they know all this. It's the old story of you know what you know, and you know some of the things you don't know, but you don't even know what you don't know. So anyone who's a sensible professional would actually be comfortable getting an expert opinion in an area, because that's what most accountants and most solicitors do when it's out of their own depth, Ken.
That's right. It's not being afraid to get a second opinion. Or if you like getting that specialist help, you know, when you go to the doctor, no one has a problem with being referred to a specialist. The doctor doesn't have a problem. And that's because they know they do what they do well. Someone else does what they do well. The difference is we make sure that the two talk to each other, and then you get a result for you.
So if you got some benefit from this session with Ken today, or if it's opened your eyes and thought, maybe I could get some benefit from speaking to Ken, my suggestion is, my recommendation, more than a suggestion, is go to metropole.com.au and leave your name saying that you want to have a chat with Ken Race. And Ken, I hope I don't inundate you with things, but if people would just like to have a 5-10 minute chat with you to find out whether there is some way you can help them before they spend money seeing you, would you be happy doing that?
Oh, of course. I think the biggest travesty is, you know, letting somebody make a mistake that you know would have been avoidable. So absolutely.
So you've opened our eyes. That's just the beginning of a series of podcasts we're going to be doing. But today we spoke about asset protection. There's so much more we could talk about this topic on its own. Thank you for your time, and look forward to our next chat real soon.
No, great talk. Thank you, Michael.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
In my mindset message today, I'd like to explain to you about a chat I had with one of my nephews who suddenly is taking an interest in property and business and success. And he said, what would you have liked to know years ago that would make things different today? Now, that's a great question. And as I discussed things with him, I realized that the topics I was talking about really wasn't as much about property or money as it was about mindset. So these are some of the things I mentioned to him that I wish I had known then. And the first one was to become the pilot of your life, because then everything's going to change. I remember things changed for me when I learned that my thoughts lead to my feelings lead to my actions, and my actions lead to my results. This meant that my inner world, my thoughts and my feelings, controlled my outer world, my actions and my results. The turning point was when I realized that I was responsible for all things, the good and the bad that had happened to me. I then became the pilot of my life and not just a passenger. I also realized that even if it's not true, I know I act differently and my results are better because I believe I'm responsible for everything that happened to me. The second lesson I told Daniel was that when I was young, no one taught me about this thing called the reticular activating system, that part of the brain that only lets you see in your surroundings what you focus on in your thoughts. It pretty much always helps you find what you're looking for. You know that story that if you were going to look for a white Toyota, you were going to buy a new car, all of a sudden on the street you'd see white Toyotas everywhere. It's the reticular activating system that looks for things that you focus on and blocks out other things. It pretty much always helps you find what you're looking for. It's your inbuilt GPS system. And so what I learned, and I would have liked to know it earlier in life, was the importance of setting goals and regularly reviewing them, because it's one way to keep your focus. It keeps you focused on what's important and helps you take actions that are going to move you closer towards where you want to go. The other lesson I told him was that your attitude changes your reality. It's that old glass half full or glass empty story. When things happen in life, things that we don't like, we can either choose to see them as a problem or as a solution waiting to be discovered. Be blunt, it took me quite some time in my life to discover that if you change your attitude, you can actually change your reality. When you have a positive attitude instead of a negative one, you start to see things and viewpoints that were invisible before. At the moment, there's lots of challenges going on in the world, in life, but there always seem to be. But the optimistic people do much, much better in life in general than the pessimists. Another lesson I told him was the importance of giving. You've got to give to receive. As children, we're told that the joy is in giving rather than receiving. But as adults, for many of us, life becomes about what we can get out of somebody or something. However, if you want to increase the value you receive, look, it could be money, love, kindness, opportunities, you've got to increase the value that you give. Because over time, what you get is in proportion to what you give out. While it would be nice to get something for nothing, over the years, I learned that seldom happens. Another lesson I taught him was to be proactive rather than reactive. There seems to be three types of people out there: those who make things happen, those who watch what happens, and then there's those who sit around and say, hey, what just happened? Be in the first group. Be in that group of people who make things happen and always be on the lookout for opportunity. Two more lessons I gave him that I'd like to share with you. One is make your time count. How often have you heard people say time flies? Well, indeed it does, so use it wisely. Just as you're careful about how and where you invest your money, you should be careful about how you invest your time. Remember the Pareto principle, that 80-20 rule? It says that 80% of the value we receive comes from 20% of what we do with our time. So what things do you do? What do you spend your time doing that takes a lot of energy yet delivers few results? Cut those out and use your time wisely. Of course, that also means don't waste your time worrying, because most things you're worrying about are never going to happen. They're just monsters in your mind. If they do happen, they're most likely not going to be as bad as you expected. So now when you're confronted with a challenge, what you should do is put things in perspective. What I do, what I ask myself is, what's the worst that could happen? What's the best possible outcome? And what's the most likely thing that's going to happen? This means you shouldn't take things too seriously, because that which seems like a really big problem today, you may not even remember in 5 years' time. So lighten up a little bit. But the other lesson I taught him was mistakes mean growth. Sometimes negative experiences, mistakes and failures can be an even better way of achieving success because they teach you something that another win, another success probably wouldn't teach you. However, we're so driven with getting things right that we fail to see the value when things go wrong. Instead, we spend our time wishing we'd done it differently or not doing anything because we're scared of having a mistake. So if things go wrong, learn from your mistakes is what I explained to him. Make it count. Do things differently next time. What I didn't tell him at the time, but I would have liked to, was one thing I'm going to share with you now, and that's don't compare yourself to others. That's one of the things I would like to know early too, because when you compare yourself to others, you let the outside world control how you feel about yourself. Clearly, with social media now and seeing everybody's what they eat and what they do and their cars and their lifestyle, it makes some people feel a little bit jealous. Remember, you're seeing people's highlight reels, not all the bits on the cutting room floor. So instead of trying to compare yourself with other people, strive to be the best that you can be and look at how far you've come, what you've achieved, what you've accomplished. And they're the lessons that I would have liked to know many years ago. And if I've shared them with you and now you're aware of those, maybe it will help you just get that bit of success a little bit sooner. My aim in these podcasts is to help you become more successful in money matters in all areas of your life. And I hope my chat with Ken today has given you some insights into asset protection. If you got some benefit from this and you know somebody else who'd get benefit from it, please tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast or use the share button on the podcast app you're listening to. Of course, if you'd like to tell the world, please leave us a review on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to this. I'd love to hear it. Now, if you'd like to get more information between these twice a week podcasts, follow me on social media or subscribe to my daily property update newsletter. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropol, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropol to help you?